read our scripture for the morning. Three different passages that we will turn to. First one is in Philemon, the book of Philemon, right after the book of Titus. Small book, one chapter, right before Hebrews. So Philemon, we're going to look at verse 24, just one verse in each of these three passages. So let's start in the book of Philemon. We'll read all three of these verses together, please. Philemon, still hear some pages flipping. Verse number 24, and let's read it together. Ready? Begin. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. And next, let's turn to Colossians, the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter number 4. Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 14. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 14. And let's read that together, please. Ready? Begin. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. And then the final chapter, the final passage, 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 10. And again, we'll read this final verse together. Verse number 10. Ready? Begin. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. And let's pray for the sermon this morning. Lord, again, we thank you for this time in our church. We thank you for the program, for the harvest, for the soul winning, for all that you're doing here. We thank you for new people. We thank you for faithful people. We thank you that we get to be a part of a church, Lord, where we see you working. We're alive. We're seeing people reached. We're so thankful for that. God, even this morning, you have something for every one of us. You want to speak to us individually. Please be with our pastor as he preaches and every one of us as we listen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
All right. Thank you for that, Ryan. All of us have had experiences where we go somewhere, or maybe it's a job we've had or a place we've went to where something has happened and we have walked away from it. We've basically said, I'm done. I'm not going back. I've had it. How many of you have ever done that with a job? Yeah, you're probably unemployed now. But anyhow, I remember when I moved back from Florida, I got a job I was doing maintenance, overseeing some maintenance, some janitorial crews in Florida. So I got a job here when I moved back from Florida, and they promised me a certain, you know, monthly wage. I was doing the McDonald aircraft building maintenance crew, and they were about ready to lose the contract. And so he came in and said, see what you can do. They paid monthly. So I came in, we hired some new people, and we kind of, in a couple weeks, kind of started doing better. And they're like, hey, we're happy with the way you're going, you know, and we're going to save the contract and all that stuff. And then at the end of that first month, I got my first paycheck. They sent it in to us. We were there in the evening, and I gave the other guys their paychecks, and I opened up mine, and it was half of what the guy had promised me. So I called him, and I'm like, hey, you know, you promised me this, and he told me some lie or something, and like, no, well, like, I said, okay, all right, well, I'm leaving. That's fine. I'm good. And I left, and I told the crew, you know, hey, finish your work for tonight, and I went home. He called me when I got home, and like, oh, hey, you know, that was a mistake. I'll pay you what I told you I'd pay. I just need you to go back there. I'm like, no. Okay, you lied to me. I don't mind certain things, but when your boss lies to you on the first paycheck, I'm not guessing I'm going to stick around for a second paycheck. Are you with me? But we've all had bad experience with something, and we kind of back away from it. What happens, though, sometimes is people do that with things that aren't, that they shouldn't. Sometimes we in a marriage, sometimes it's with our children, sometimes it's with relationships, and we allow something to come in that's not really a major or whatever, and we allow that to kind of cut into that relationship, and sometimes we walk away, sometimes not even really physically, but emotionally, mentally. The sad thing is many people who claim to be Christians have walked away from God. In a sense, this is a strong term, but it's true, they have forsaken him. Usually when a Christian starts to get away from God, it starts with their church. Maybe they start to become a little less faithful, or maybe they quit going to church. But usually there's something deeper in that, something that starts, and it's subtle, and it slowly starts to take over our Christianity, starts to take over our life and starts gaining momentum, and we may not think this way, but we end up forsaking the Lord, forsaking serving Him. In the verses we read, if you have discernment at all, you know there's a key name in there. The name is Demas. Demas was somebody who ended up forsaking. In one verse we read, and Paul says, hey, Demas is here with me, and he's a fellow laborer. He's working with me. He's part of our, I get asked, as you were, our part of our ministry, our team here. And then in one of the other verses, it's like Demas says hello with these other guys. And then you get to the last verse, very sad for Paul, who's facing persecution and imprisonment. And he says, Demas has forsaken me. He's gone. Who was Demas? Demas had been one of Paul's fellow laborers. He was in the ministry with Mark and Luke and several others. During Paul's first imprisonment in Rome, Demas was also in Rome with him. There's also, evidence that Demas was with Paul during his second imprisonment, at least for a while. We don't know, we do know one. Then he ended up bailing out on Paul. He ended up abandoning the ministry, abandoning Paul and taking off. And as you look at the verse there where it said, in that passage there where it left, not only did he leave him, he left him at a critical time. Kind of left him there to himself. But he had not just forsook Paul and departed. He had forsaken God and deserted him. The separation caused Demas' desertion of Paul wasn't just a physical separation. It was a spiritual separation. Demas took off for a whole different thing. Now, On Thursday, Brother Borg preached about how a church dies. That was a very good message. And if you weren't here, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that. Because churches die all the time. I mean, there was a church in, I won't name the city, but we were over here trying to rent it out about 7 or 8 years ago to start a church over in the Orange County area. I talked to the pastor there. He was much, much older. He had started the church, Sacrifice. It was a growing church, but it was down to about less than 10 people. And they were dying. That's not how that church started. The things that he mentioned are things that caused the church to lose their attention on the things that are important. And it starts the process of dying, which causes them to forsake their mission and service for God. Now, thank God, I don't think our church is there. But I will say this. Over the 30 years that I've been here at the church, I've not seen it on our church's level here, but I've seen it in the lives of Christians. Christians who have come and were doing well, and for whatever reason, their attention kind of got disrailed or left turn, and they took off. Now, everybody has reasons. By the way, everybody has a reason. I appreciate honesty. I wish someone would just be honest sometimes. Remember when I was a youth director, I used to pick up a bunch of kids for church in the early days of church, and I told all the kids one time, I said, look, don't lie to me. I said, if you're not coming to church, don't tell me if I call, because I'd call them in the morning. We didn't meet till church till 1. I'm like, let me just call them. Do you need a ride? And, my dog died, the cat ran away. It's like, well, you should celebrate that. But, all these different excuses. I said, just be honest and tell me you don't want to come to church. And I called this kid one day, Charlie. And I said, hey, Charlie, I'll be by to pick you up. He goes, I'm not coming today. I'm like, why? He's like, well, let me just be honest. I don't want to come. I'm like, you know what, Charlie? I appreciate your honesty, man. You're a man. He goes, well, thank you. I said, but I will be by in 30 minutes, and you are coming to church. He's like, now you know why I lie. I'm like, well, that's it. But there's always excuses. We always have to have a reason. But this morning, as I think about Demas and I think about someone who traveled with Paul and served the Lord and now he just totally walked off, what are some things that cause us to maybe lose it? By the way, let me just say this. There is never anything wrong with God. That should never be the problem. Never. By the way, someone may let you down or you may be disappointed or you may be discouraged, but you know, God's never the source of any of that. And so let's not blame God. But here's some things. Our attention gets skewed. I've got four brief thoughts I want to share with you. Why do we end up like a Demas and we forsake? Well, first of all, I'd say because maybe our attention is not on Christ, but on other Christians. Now, I will say this. Other Christians are important in our life. A church family is an important thing because all of us need encouragement, right? All of us at times need someone to come on and give us a spiritual pat on the back or someone we could come to and say, you know, I'm struggling. Can you pray for me? Or you know, can we share together? Whatever it is. That's important and that's very vital. But what happens sometimes, all of our attention and all of our focus is on other Christians and we don't get enough attention on the one that it should be, who's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, church is important. I think every Christian ought to be a part of a church and ought to jump in and be right in on board with it. But our attention needs to be on Christ. Paul said in Galatians 4:19, "My little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Now, here's Paul, the great missionary church planner, and he's saying, I'm in travail. That's the word that you would use of a lady having a baby. And if you ladies that had a baby, it's pretty traumatic, okay? It's not easy. And there's a lot of effort, and that's why they say when a lady's having a baby, she goes into labor. She's not going into vacation, okay? That's what Paul's saying. He goes, that's how I feel. I feel like I'm in labor, I'm in travail, that Christ would be formed in you. That's what Christ wanted for them. That's what Paul wanted for them. He wanted Christ to be formed in them. He wanted their Christianity to be about Jesus Christ. Too often our eyes get off on the wrong things. Too often we. By the way, I've heard it so many times. Someone will walk away from God and they'll say, well, you know, it's because of this Christian did this. And I'm thinking, well, I could tell you other stories. Because a church is not full of perfect people, right? We ought to cut each other some slack. But a lot of times, you know what that is? That's nothing more than an excuse. Well, you know, I came to that church and I just feel like people are looking down on me. No one's looking down on you. That's not why we're here. We're here to be together for church and think about Jesus Christ. But a lot of times that's our conscience speaking to us. And Satan's really good at getting us to place our focus on the wrong type of things instead of the focus where it should be. It ought to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if it's not on the Lord, you're not going to grow in your faith. If I'm relying on, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with relying on your brothers and sisters in Christ to help you, but if that's all you rely on, there will be times in your life when you need Jesus Christ, and he's the only one that can be there. Remember a couple weeks ago, the story about David where they come back to Ziklag, and the city is burned out, and everybody's gone, and their families have been taken hostage, their children have been taken hostage, and David's mighty men are saying, we ought to kill David. David had no one to back him up. And what does the Bible say? But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know what? It's a good thing David wasn't trusting in his mighty men. And by the way, those guys could throw it. Those guys were some tough dudes. If you're walking through a dark alley, you wouldn't want one of David's guys with you. Okay? These guys were not sissies. But David wasn't his faith wasn't in them. And when everything came crushing down around him, David was able to say, I have this relationship with the Lord. But if we don't have that relationship with him, we're never. So what is your focus on? Yes, have good Christian friends. Yes, be a part of the church. Enjoy everything that's going on. But make sure that your focus, your attention, is more on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're relying on too many things to take care of us when really our source of our power comes from Jesus Christ. We've heard the story before of the seagulls in Florida. They all started in one of the cities, one of the port cities in Florida. And these seagulls all started dying, and they were trying to figure out why they were dying, and they couldn't figure it out. And so they did some research. They come to find out that they were literally starving themselves to death, because there had been a little shrimp port there. And the shrimp boats would come in, and the dead shrimp they would throw out, and the seagulls would eat them or whatever they had left. And the seagulls for many, many years had got all this free food, and they had babies. And all the babies ever knew was that the food was free on the dock. Well, the shrimp boats moved away, and the seagulls no longer that had been raised there no longer had that. And so they were not used to going out and getting their own food, and they were starving to death. That's what happens to too many Christians. We're relying on all these other things to give us our main source of strength when that ought to come from Jesus Christ. So our attention is on Christian and not on Christ. Secondly, our attention is not on who we are, but on what we do. We understand that being a dynamic Christian, as we go on our faith, God wants us to serve Him. That's active. That is doing things from Him. In our church, we have a word. We call that ministry. Being involved in ministry. And thank God we have a lot of people in our church. We have people that drive buses. They teach in a Sunday school class. They work in the nursery. They help out no matter what we're doing. There's things that we do around here, and they're a part of it, and they're involved. And if we ask for help with something, you jump right in. And by the way, there's joy in doing that type of thing. There's joy in serving. But let me say this: more important than what you do as a Christian is who you are as a Christian. You say, well, I do the right things, you know. I tithe, and thank God for that. We wouldn't be here if you didn't. I give to missions. Thank God for that. We wouldn't have missionaries in the field. I give to the building. I have children in the Christian school. I go to the Christian school. I come out on Tuesday nights. I invite people to church. And by the way, all these things are good, and all these things are things that Christians are supposed to do. But that's all the external things. What's going on the inside? You see, what we do on the outside begins from who we are on the inside. Now, for a while, you can do all the outside stuff without anything on the inside. But you know what happens? Eventually, you're going to run out of fuel. You know, someone say, I can't do this anymore. I'm burned out. Well, you burned out because you ran out of fuel. Who are we on the inside? You know, God's more concerned with who we are than what we do. And sometimes we get that because who we are on the inside, no one else sees. Oh, we can fool people for a while. But you know, who we are eventually is going to come out. And so we need to work on who we are on the inside. It's like the Martha syndrome, right? The Mary and Martha syndrome. She chose, I'm serving, and hey, how come my sister's not serving? Jesus said, hey, she has chosen the good part. Now, He didn't say that she shouldn't serve. He just said, right now, you're all frazzled. She's doing the right thing. So let's make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. God gives us that inward strength that we need. That comes from spending time with Him. Thirdly, because our attention is not on God's power, but on our own strength. Turn to Romans chapter 7. I want us to read these verses this morning. Romans chapter 7. Our attention is not on God's power, but on our own strength. You know, and I understand, you know, America is the place of, you know, we're self-made men. Just pony up, cowboy, and get it done. That's nice. And by the way, I'm not against people giving effort and ponying up. But in the Christian life, it doesn't work like that. We can only do what we're supposed to do as we rely on God's strength. Now, some of us say, well, you know, I'm just waiting for God to strengthen me. That's not how it works. Get out there and get going, and as you get out there and get going, God will strengthen you. But what's our focus? Romans chapter 7, verse 14. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal and sold under sin." Now here, listen, see Paul's frustration here. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do." Now, how you ever felt like that? Like you get upset and you do something. It's like, man, why did I do that? That was, and I didn't want to do that, and I'm frustrated. How many of you been there? Okay, the rest of you aren't human, all right? And it's like, man, what's going on? I'm trying to be a Christian here, and that was just dumb. If you don't like the word dumb, we'll use the word ill-advised. Lame, okay? I shouldn't have done that. Why did I do that? I'm going to tell you why you did that. You're human, okay? Now, that's no excuse for doing it, but we do that sometimes, and we get frustrated, and then the things, man, I'm going to do right. I'm going to do the right thing, and then look back, oh, man, why didn't I do that? We got to fight this flesh, and this flesh is constantly, constantly, constantly fighting against us. So what do? We need God's power in our spirit. We can't do this alone. We need to be strengthened with his power in the inner man. Now, what are we relying on? See, too often we're trying to do everything on our own, and we don't want any of God's help, and God's like, fine, you can do it on your own. But what happens is, inevitably, we're going to fall on our face on a regular basis. That's why the closer we are to God, the more the Word of God we have in our hearts and in our lives, the more we have the power at our disposal from God to be able to do the things we are supposed to do. But too many of us are just kind of floating it. You know, well, I showed up to church on Sunday. That ought to get me through till next week. It won't. Try eating one day a week. Okay? Well, that won't. That you'll lose some weight, all right? But you're not. Long about Tuesday or Wednesday, we did this cleanse thing last year. My wife's like, if you really do the cleanse right, because usually we do it, we'll have protein. It's like, you're not supposed to eat the first 4 days. Just do the cleanse. I said, oh, I'm going to do that. Listen, about the second day, you didn't want to be around. Okay, we were doing the cleanse, but the joy of the Lord was not my strength. It's like, give me a pizza. We're diving in here today. All right, how many of you, are like, you haven't eaten for a while? It's like, okay, good. Listen, that doesn't work. And neither does, coming to church on Sunday, going home, putting our Bible away and say, God, I visited you this week. See you next Sunday. That doesn't work. We're trying to do everything in our own strength, and that doesn't work because we do have this flesh, and our flesh is sinful, and our flesh always wants to do wrong. That's why when push comes to shove and pressure comes, the first thing we always want to do is the wrong thing. Someone cuts in front of your line at the store. It's like, brother, did you see I've been standing here? Don't you know I'm here? Okay, that's the flesh. Now, I still don't think they had a cut, all right? Just cough. Oh, were you in line? Yes. Okay, been here for 30 minutes. Thanks for coming. But the flesh, someone cut you off on the freeway. I saw a great video the other day, okay? So this guy had this, they have the dash cam in the car. In the car in front of him, this guy's road rage, and he gets out. And he goes up to the car in front of him. The guy in front of him just rolled his window out, and his pit bull stuck his head out the window. The guy felt led to go back to his car. Road rage was totally healed. Okay? But that's the flesh that jumps up right away and says, do this. It's usually the wrong thing. We need God's power. We can't do this ourselves. Lastly, and this one comes straight from Demas, our attention is not on our eternal home, but on this temporal world. Why did Demas forsake Paul? Now, if you asked Demas, he probably would have had a boatload of excuses. I'm tired of being on the road. Paul was mean to me. He's in prison. I'm just running back and forth. I'm his servant. I need this. The people in the city were mean to me. Okay, go on and on and on and on. But what's the real excuse? For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this. Now, he doesn't say world. He says present world. Why is present in there? Because what he's saying is Demas has chosen for what is going on right now. for what's on this world at this minute. He wanted all the stuff, the stuff that looks good and maybe is not Christian and not right, and it sounds good, and it's not spiritual, and it's, you know, the Instagram life, and everybody's like smiling. Listen, as soon as they take the picture on Instagram, the smiles go off and everything's bad. It's like Christmas picture. Our house, and I hate it, there's 27 of us in the picture. You can't get all the kids to smile, but one out of 700, we're all smiling, but you don't hear the fights like, hey, Jason, smile, look at the camera. Ellie, look, I'm like, smile. Hey, look at the camera. I don't want to sit here for 20 minutes. But we're all smiling. Listen, we weren't smiling before, and we weren't smiling after. Okay? But it all looks good, you know? And I want that joy. Listen, there's joy only in serving Jesus. So what are you choosing to live for? You're going to have to choose because you know, you're not going to follow God if you want everything that this life has to offer. I'm not saying go live in a cardboard box. I'm just saying let's follow the Lord and let's put that life ahead of this life. Because this life sometimes is a lie. What this life throws out at us, we think that if we get it, everything will be great. And then we get it, and it's like cotton candy. It looks good, and it looks filling, but it's sugar with air. There's nothing to it. Nothing to it. What's your attention on today? Is your, not the Rams, what's wrong with you? Okay, it could have been worse. It could have been the Raiders. All right, I get that. Or the 49ers. Someone cussed in church. They said the word 49ers. I'm like, oh, say that. By the way, I've been saying, we never shut down church on Sunday night for the Super Bowl. Man, if the Rams make the Super Bowl this year, it is going to be hard. We might have it early. I'm not sure. But what's the point? The point is this. Whenever our attention is on the wrong things, we are just a couple steps away from being a Demas. Now, Demas did it for the world. But what is our issue today? I mean, really, how's your... Is your whole life about Christians? And by the way, there's nothing wrong with it. We ought to be together. I get all that. But is your relationship with Christians better than your relationship with the Lord? Think about that. Am I closer to God's people than I am to God himself? You're setting yourself up for some trouble. Are you settling in on your own strength? Are you desiring, Lord, I'm going to do the right thing, but I understand, like, look, the Apostle Paul. Okay, this isn't some guy down the street saying I'm struggling with sin. This is the Apostle Paul. Are we more concerned with what we do? By the way, keep doing what you're doing, but is that more of a concern? Hey, as long as I'm doing the outward stuff, who cares what I'm like on the inside? God does. Or is our focus on what we can get out of this present world, and we have no thought about the eternal? If not, we're setting ourselves up. And I wouldn't want to be, you know, there's a lot of people mentioned in Scripture, right? David, John, you know, Peter, Paul, Mary, but not in that order like that. You know, all those different ones. Can I just tell you something? I wouldn't want my name written in the Bible like that. Steve hath forsaken me. That's like all eternity stuff. Can I get that? I don't want to forsake the Lord. And I hope that you don't want to too. But we need to have the right attention. Let's all stand together.